WXCE and 107.7 FM W299CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Trump assassination attempt. I'm Richard Cantu. 2 days after surviving the attempt on his life, former President Trump is in Milwaukee for the start of the Republican National Convention.
Talked to President Trump today. He was in great spirits. I mean, he was telling me an unbelievable story about hearing the bullet actually come at him and go to his ear.
Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy talking with Matt Smith of ABC News Milwaukee affiliate WISN 12.
He's upbeat. He's excited about coming to Milwaukee. He was going to get on the plane right before I talked to him, and so I think it's going to be an exciting week for all.
Also speaking to WISN 12 convention official David Bossy.
Well, first, I was excited to get to see him anyway, but after yesterday, the welcome that he's going to get here, I think, is just going to be a very emotional and overwhelming thing.
Among tonight's convention speakers, Americans who say they're struggling to afford homes and basic needs in this economy. This is ABC.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. COVID cases are rising in central Wisconsin, but doctors say they're not alarmed. Melissa Kay explains.
Dr. Stephen Phillipson is an MD with Aspirus.
The good news about that is community transmission may be higher, but it's not impacting hospitalization, which means COVID is reverting to more of a disease like influenza, which can be deadly for some people, but not as deadly as it was when the pandemic first started.
Phillipson said that it's good to be aware and use protective measures when necessary. I'm Melissa Kay.
The Republican National Convention kicks off on Monday in Milwaukee. The four-day convention is expected to attract more than 50,000 visitors to Wisconsin's largest city. Republican Party leaders expect Donald Trump will make an appearance to accept the presidential nomination. Civic Media News will be at the convention, bringing you coverage throughout the week, over the air, and online. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers get the win before the break. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers avoiding a sweep at the hands of the Washington Nationals with a 9-3 win today at American Family Field. Willie Adames with a big day. Reached base five times, four hits, including this home run in the eighth on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
That one's deep. Way back left center field. Adames will once it fly. Put two more on the board, courtesy of Willie Adames. A four RBI game.
The Brewers playing less than 500 baseball the last 2 weeks heading into the All-Star break. Manager Pat Murphy.
You need them all. You know, like you start thinking like that, like desperation or something like that. That's not good thinking. You can say the guys are tired and they know the break's coming. So you've been in baseball as long as I have. Whenever there's a definite break coming, you can see sometimes lapses.
Now the team has the week off while Christian Yelich and catcher William Contreras head to Arlington, Texas for the All-Star game Tuesday night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle three. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we're live from Wisconsin Media Row at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee along with Trigby Olson. You don't want to miss it. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today, and a couple of those could be strong to severe, with hail and wind being the main severe threats. There could be some locally heavy rain, too. Otherwise, partly cloudy, hot and humid, 88 today, 68 tonight, sunny, cooler, 82 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Republican National Convention gets underway. We talked to Greg Treverton from National Security Leaders for America about the ramifications of a possible Trump second term.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Well, I sincerely hope all the guests that are in Wisconsin for the Republican National Convention are ready for some hot, sticky weather, because that we have plenty of today. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Welcome in. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Yeah, in that Milwaukee area today, you're expecting to see heat indexes that are going to push to as high as 95 degrees. Sunshine on the way. Now, showers and storms develop overnight in the Milwaukee area. Some of them could be severe. Tomorrow, they'll look for sunshine and 83. La Crosse, you're going to have to burn off a little fog this morning. Your daytime highs, again, reaching that kind of dangerous area. We'll see temperatures today around 89 degrees. Factor in the heat indexes and you'll be easily into the 90s. Same situation around the Madison area. Another hot, sticky day with heat indexes as high as 95. But everybody gets a little bit of a break from that hot, sticky weather by about Wednesday. Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, will share details on that. Also on the way, Charity Seebecker joins us with news from the dairy farmers of Wisconsin on how they're reaching beyond our borders to find new customers for all our great Wisconsin cheese and telling a story about Wisconsin dairy to boot. And speaking of stories, Stephanie Hoff also stepping in. A crop that is in the ground may like moisture, but not too much moisture. Unfortunately, Wisconsin's seen a lot of rain in the central sands area of the state, and now our potato crop could be at risk. She's got the latest update on the way.
Rural Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Wisconsin State Fair. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away State Fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win State Fair tickets.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Farm Technology Days 2024 in Chippewa County in Cadott at the site of the Chippewa Valley Music Festivals will be August 13th through the 15th, and there won't be a barn on the location. I'm Bob Osel from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. The leaders of Farm Technology Days this year in Chippewa County include Charlie Walker from the Chippewa Economic Development Council, and he said it's coming to Chippewa County because the folks around the community wanted to get the show back.
First of all, 2 years ago, Chippewa County, the citizens and the ag industry really wanted it in Chippewa County. The last time we hosted it was 2004. Not only does it give it a tourist boost, because we're expecting about 14,000 people a day, that's great economic impact. The highlight that it does to the ag industry shows the importance of it. It's our number two GDP, so we're excited about it. We approached it a little bit different because we tackled the facility side first. And that's what we talked about, having Wade and his team on board.
Here at the Chippewa Valley Music Festivals, Country Fest, Rock Fest.
Right, at their grounds tied with the close farms. That took a lot of the pressure off, having the right location, and then we could focus on making the event really cool. And I think that shows. Now it's about 37 days. Now you're going to start seeing some real marketing and some real push for it. We've got vendor space sold out. It's just going to be a great show.
Going forward, this was something you've never been involved with. What was it that made you say, we can get this done and I can lead this group.
Well, I'm not really the leader. I'm just kind of the facilitator, making sure whatever committee needs they have. The real leader is a volunteer, Rob Mooney from Alliance Plastics. He's the chair. He's been pushing and getting the volunteers. And, you know, coming out of the pandemic, reorganizing that was the big deal. And then you have some pause, and we learned a lot from Clark County. We learned a lot from Baraboo, and then we learned best lessons from Eau Claire. And the state transitioned as well. They're moving into the new way of doing things. Like we talked about the food trucks, not so many volunteers. Trying to leverage those unique events is a different deal. So we took a different approach to it. I think it's been fun. It really has. And that's the key thing. Keep fun into ag, and that's what makes it happen. And we couldn't do it without the farmers and everybody's support.
And this show is showing the transition in agriculture. The food truck, the food situation, just one. It used to be local church groups or the Lions or whatever working, but the food truck concept is catching on in a lot of different venues. Tell us about the food trucks, because they're not going to be just Aunt Mary's Donut Shop from Chippewa Falls. There's a variety coming from a lot of places.
There is. There's Big Papa's Barbecue, just to name one. There's just some Italians, some tacos coming out of the Twin Cities area. Just some cool things. And the reason is the food trucks are cool now. And if you can ride that, and a lot of entrepreneurs on the farm, they have food trucks or they have some type of vendors, and they get more and more into that business. So we wanted to reach out. We actually dedicated a whole row, food truck row. So it's all, you can just spend all day going up and down the road, just eating away. And we think that's going to attract, too. There's going to be some people who are just going to come out to see the food and enjoy the food. And that in itself is going to open their eyes to what ag's all about and the importance ag has in our economy.
Charlie, as you were planning this and the site was selected here, the Close Farms and Chippewa Valley Music Festivals, how much was an advantage or how much of a leap forward did you already have that you've got grounds, you've got farm roads, you've got hard road to get here? That had to be a nice bonus.
It was, but please remember, there were five other farms in Chippewa County that submitted an RFI, and the judging was tough. But you said it, the icing on the cake with the infrastructure and the facilities and the parking. We didn't want to go tear up another farm and then have to replace it. Those things were just awesome. So that was the icing on the cake that helped us select this deal. But Rooney Farms and the other farms that submitted were just awesome. And they are participating in this year's Farm Technology Days as well. So all the farmers are that lost out on the location are involved in helping make this a great show.
Do you get this excited about everything you do?
Everything. I love ag. I love economic development. I love watching the innovation that we're going to see at the Farm Technology Days. I mean, we're going to have aquaponics. We're going to have some it's just some drones. That's just cool. And the drone obstacle courses, and it's just going to be great. And the tractors, and Tractor Central is going to have some cool stuff. I just can't wait to be there to see all the neat things happening. And it's August 13th through the 15th, so 9:30 as it opens up, so plenty of room, plenty of time, and it's towards the end of the summer. After all the events, it's going to be perfect.
It's going to be a good one. Charlie, thank you.
Thank you for everything.
That's Charlie Walker, Chippewa Economic Development Council. Anna Maynard is with us now with the statewide Farm Technology Days organization. And Anna, one of the first things you said when you were talking about the show is it's going to be full.
Yes, all of the commercial space is sold at this time. We still have some areas in Discovery Square. I'm kind of wavering there, but all the commercial space is gone. We're full.
Now, we've got some different terminology. Discovery Center, is that what used to be Innovation Square, or what's the terminology we're dealing with now?
Yes. This county decided they wanted to focus on local community businesses that are doing something different. And so they called it Discovery Square, so that people can come there and discover new and old. There's going to be, that's where there'll be some antique tractors, but there'll be a lavender farm there. There'll be organic waste management, who's using manure waste to reuse manure waste. There's all new, unique stuff. So that's why they decided to call it Discovery Square.
And of course, the show has changed. It used to be we had a lot of participation from folks at Extension, but how, as far as your job, You do the commercial exhibits. You stepped up to now really a management role in this. It's changed, but so has agriculture.
Exactly. We started seeing changes about in 2022. We realized then that we had to become a nonprofit. I mean, we were always a 501c5, but now we're a 501c3. So we're charitable. So we had to make that change. We had to make the change with the food trucks, with volunteers. We've made changes that starting in 2025, the contracts for the show are signed with a farm instead of with a county. And that's because Extension's role has changed. And so they're not as involved as they used to be. Thankfully, there's still people like Jerry Clark that believe in the show and will come and participate. But we will be partnering with farms. So in 2025, we have Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. And 2026, we have Radetzky Farms, No Joke Dairy, up in Stratford.
Every show is a little bit different. What would you say is maybe one of the major changes at this show, or advancements, whatever term you want to make, from the, you know, the technology? We're going to have drones, we're going to have the food trucks. No two shows are the same. We just keep advancing.
Yeah, well, one interesting thing for this show is we started the Youth Ag Adventure last year in Baraboo.
Versus no longer a quote-unquote youth tent.
Right. Right. So now what we do is we have a passport program where kids ages 5 through 12 pick up a passport and they visit different locations on the grounds. So this year there's going to be the beef tent. They're going to be talking about byproducts. They're going to go, the Chippewa FFA is going to do a plant in a bottle type thing with the kids. They're going to be able to try archery with the Wisconsin shooting sports. They're going to be able to drive a drone through an obstacle course. They're going to be able to go to the DNR and do the wildlife and learn about all of the opportunities and natural resources in our state. Progress Pavilion is going to have them in to learn about soil in this area, soil statewide. So I think that is a unique thing, that every show now will have new areas that they focus on for the youth, because we understand that youth is an important objective for us to reach the youth.
But the focus, while some of the focus might change, the bottom line is still education about agriculture.
Definitely. We look at it as education in and about agriculture. So we want to still provide the farmers with new technology and things that they can look at, answers to their challenges that they may be facing. But we want to get that consumer in here. We want to get the kids in here. We want them to learn that agriculture is providing their food and to understand that connection.
Anna Maynor with us, General Manager of Farm Technology Days in Chippewa County. Close Farms, also Chippewa Valley Music Festival grounds, home of Country Fest, or now Hoofbeats, and Rock Fest. And it's coming August 13th through the 15th. I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
Attention Badger fans, the countdown to kickoff is on. Get ready for Wisconsin football this fall as single game tickets are now available, with select games starting at just $35. Don't miss out on big Badger matchups, including Oregon and Penn State, all on the home turf. Secure your seats today and experience the excitement and energy of Badger football at Camp Randall Stadium this season. For more information on single game tickets, call 1-800-GO-BADGERS or visit uwbadgers.com. That's uwbadgers.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I want to talk about dealing with debt collectors and your rights when you are in collections. Debt collectors are people who've been hired to collect money that you owe to someone else. They can be persistent or rude or sometimes worse, but they do have to follow rules. Federal law says that they cannot call before 8 a.m. in the morning or after 9 p.m. at night. They cannot harass you, meaning they can't curse at you or threaten you. And they cannot lie to you or make up consequences for not paying your debt. And they can't tell anyone other than your spouse or your attorney about your debt. Now, if you experience any of this, you can complain about them to the Federal Trade Commission at consumer.gov. And last thought before I go, you can always ask a debt collector to stop calling you. Legally, they have to comply. If they don't, you report them to the FTC. For more money tips, go to workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
Monday night, we will stream live on Facebook, X, and YouTube from 7 to 8 p.m. during the RNC and be back on the air live from 8 to 9 p.m. where we welcome the master of radio magic, Gizmo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights, 7 till 9. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Also a great way to meet new people. That's what the pork producers have found out. They had the barbecue battle and pork promotion activity going on in Washington, D.C., where they basically brought together pork producers as well as chefs from across the major metro area in D.C. And the goal was to try to share recipes, share experiences. One of the people that was on hand there was Rich Deaton. He's an Ohio pork producer. He's also a member of the National Pork Board. And he said, you have to realize that face-to-face communication, you can't replicate.
You can't replace the value of that face-to-face conversation with consumers where they can look at you in the eye and ask you questions that's valuable and important to them. And you can explain to them how we care for our people, we care for our pigs, and we really care about producing a nutritious, wholesome food for families.
That's, again, Rich Deaton, Ohio pork producer, member of the National Pork Board. Cool part about the barbecue event was that it was sponsored by the USO, or it was a USO-sponsored event, which meant that all of the military branches brought their team of chefs to compete. You can find out more on the National Pork Board website. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, along with us. Yeah, I tried to coax the old boy into grilling yesterday, and he wasn't having nothing of it. This stickiness is going to hang around, huh?
Yeah, I didn't want to do much yesterday either. Only what we had to another warm, humid day today as well. After some rain, I see Madison picking up 2 7/10 through the night just last night. Racine 2 55/100. Elkhorn 1 32/100. There is a cool front that's going to try to swing on into Wisconsin today. The radar indicating rain in lower Michigan, back in west central and far northwest Minnesota. Most of us will talk about rain tonight. Western and northwest Wisconsin already this afternoon and evening, more likely than overnight. There could be another small shot in eastern Wisconsin late Tuesday. There could be some strong winds, some localized heavy rains, unfortunately. Overall, I'd say rain amounts push up into that quarter, maybe half-inch range as we head through late today and overnight. Temperatures then take a little hit. Hallelujah, from the upper 80s to the very low 80s only by Tuesday, and in the 70s Wednesday, and right through the rest of the week. The rest of the week looks to stay drier as well. I'll have those forecast details in a moment.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lapenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast. A lot of folks from out of the state suddenly part of our mix when it comes to this forecast.
And dealing with a real warm, steamy Monday. Some fog here and there as well, beyond the alert. But another warm one. That rain chance may happen in western Wisconsin yet today. The rest of us not until this evening. I expect up to the upper 80s again today. 88, 89, maybe a 90 here or there. The heat index is pushing into the 90s. Winds become southwest at 5 to 10. Cloudy showers and thunderstorms more likely in the nighttime. And we clear it out somewhat late, down into the upper 60s. 60s only. Southwest winds becoming northwest late. Mostly sunny Tuesday. A slight rain chance late in the day. Eastern Wisconsin, low 80s for highs. Northwest winds 5 to 10. And nicer then. Sunny skies Wednesday, mid-70s for highs. That's below normal. Northwest winds at 5 to 10. Those mid and upper 70s, Pam, they stick around then Thursday, Friday. And we could see some low 80s again by the weekend, which is absolutely normal.
That's excellent news for everybody that's got county fairs coming up later this week.
That is fantastic news for the fair folks if they can get through all the rain here today and tonight.
All right, good enough, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Stu.
You got it. See ya.
Stumacher, Ag Meteorologist, bringing you your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Monday. Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
At Uline, they know firsthand the road to success is an uphill climb. Uline started in the family basement, and through hard work is now North America's most trusted shipping and industrial supplier. They get what it means to have the support of reliable, hardworking partners, so they keep 41,000 items ready to ship. Whether your company is still in a basement office or expanding cross-country, Uline will be there on your road to success. Visit Uline.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Our last installment for Why People Don't Vote Week discusses what solutions are being proposed to encourage eligible citizens to register and vote. The Center for American Progress outlined reforms which would encourage registration and voting. They include automatic voter registration to encourage registration at the DMV when obtaining a license or car registration. Oregon registered 219,000 new voters by AVR before the 2018 midterm, and 47% of them voted. Online voter registration, which includes submitting identification and other documents electronically, has eased the hassle for working people to register. A study in Georgia found that 71% of online registrants turned out to vote, higher than in-person or mail registration. Pre-registering 16 and 17-year-olds is effective in getting younger voters engaged. They can't vote until they're 18, but often schools can encourage future voting when coupled with civics education. Florida saw a 4.7% jump in youth voting as a result. Early voting and voting by mail helps all manners of people to vote, providing flexibility in schedules for parents and working citizens. In the last few weeks, Georgia has shattered its early voting records. What are your options for registering and voting? Contact your city or county election office or website for details. Articles and links to groups taking action are at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Trump assassination attempt. I'm Richard Cantu. 2 days after surviving the attempt on his life, former President Trump is in Milwaukee for the start of the Republican National Convention.
Talked to President Trump today. He was in great spirits. I mean, he was telling me an unbelievable story about hearing the bullet actually come at him and go to his ear.
Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy talking with Matt Smith of ABC News Milwaukee affiliate WISN 12.
He's upbeat. He's excited about coming to Milwaukee. He was going to get on the plane right before I talked to him. And so I think it's going to be an exciting week for all.
Also speaking to WISN 12 convention official David Bossie.
Well, first, I was excited to get to see him anyway. But after yesterday, the welcome that he's going to get here, I think, is just going to be a very emotional and overwhelming thing.
Among tonight's convention speakers, Americans who say they're struggling to afford homes and basic needs in this economy. This is ABC.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Sapp. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
COVID cases are rising in central Wisconsin, but doctors say they're not alarmed. Melissa Kay explains.
Dr. Stephen Phillipson is an MD with Aspirus.
The good news about that is community transmission may be higher, but it's not impacting hospitalization, which means COVID is reverting to more of a disease like influenza, which can be deadly for some people, but not as deadly as it was when the pandemic first started.
Phillipson said that it's good to be aware and use protective measures when necessary. I'm Melissa Kay.
The Republican National Convention kicks off on Monday in Milwaukee. The four-day convention is expected to attract more than 50,000 visitors to Wisconsin's largest city. Republican Party leaders expect Donald Trump will make an appearance to accept the presidential nomination. Civic Media News will be at the convention, bringing you coverage throughout the week, over the air, and online. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers get the win before the break. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers avoiding a sweep at the hands of the Washington Nationals with a 9-3 win today at American Family Field. Willy Adames with a big day. Reached base five times, four hits, including this home run in the eighth on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
That one's deep. Way back left center field. Adames will watch it fly. Put two more on the board, courtesy of Willy Adames. A four RBI game.
The Brewers playing less than 500 baseball the last 2 weeks heading into the All-Star break. Manager Pat Murphy.
You need them all. You know, like you start thinking like that, like desperation or something like that. That's not good thinking. You can say the guys are tired and they know the break's coming. So you've been in baseball as long as I have. Whenever there's a definite break coming, you can see sometimes lapses.
Now the team has the week off while Christian Yelich and catcher William Contreras head to Arlington, Texas for the All-Star game Tuesday night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we're live from Wisconsin Media Row at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee along with Trigvi Olson. You don't want to miss it. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today, and a couple of those could be strong to severe with hail and wind being the main severe threats. There could be some locally heavy rain, too. Otherwise, partly cloudy, hot and humid, 88 today, 68 tonight, sunny, cooler, 82 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Bob.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep
Go
it
ahead.
Clean.
Thanks. That's really
You
nice.
Are one master whacker. I'll tell you
thanks.
That. That's,
wow, that's unbelievable. Impressive. You Hollywood types.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Wisconsin farmers are going to stay engaged with activities at the Republican National Convention. In fact, coming up later this week, Wednesday, they are going to be hosting the Great American Farm Fair. It's going to be at Melsheen Farms in Waterford. The GOP Farm Committee, including the congressional chair, Glenn G.T. Thompson, and Roger Marshall, will be a part of that group. First time since they started this event, and that's 40 years worth, that it's actually going to be held on a farm. We'll do our best to keep you posted on any agriculture-related note that might transpire during the RNC in Milwaukee. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Weather-wise, today and tomorrow look pretty hot and sticky. Milwaukee, La Crosse, Madison, wherever you are, heat indexes today going to be in the dangerous category, probably around 95 degrees or so. Wednesday, we get a bit of a break. That's the good news. So what can I tell you? Today is the 15th day of July. Let's see. On this day back in 1980, a derecho streamed across western Wisconsin. St. Croix, Pierce, Dunn, Eau Claire, Chippewa, and Clark counties all saw damage. It was a 20-mile-wide swath. In reality, it was straight-line winds in excess of 100 miles per hour that created that derecho, and the storm itself caused nearly $160 million in damage, and that was in 1980 dollars, and also killed three people. Western Wisconsin derecho on this day back in 1980. On this day in 1996, MSNBC was launched. It was a channel created by Microsoft and General Electric. NBC first show on the channel was hosted by Jody Applegate, started on this day back in 1996. On this day in 1997, fashion designer Johnny Versace was gunned down by Andrew Cunanan in front of his Miami, Florida home. That was on this day in 1997. Happy birthday today to singer-songwriter Linda Ronstadt. She is 78. Actress Kim Alexis, 64. Forrest Whitaker, you probably remember him from Forrest Gump. He is 63. Happy birthday to all. And now you know. We keep an eye on Wisconsin weather because this year it has been giving us fits when it comes to production agriculture. Some farm fields are still trying to dry out, especially after reports over the weekend of 7 to 8 inches of rainfall falling between about Portage and Poinette. You know, a lot of crops can tolerate some of that moisture, but boy, when you get that kind of measurable rainfall, it's tough. Stephanie Hoff joins us this morning with some concerns Wisconsin potato growers have on how their crop will fare. And remember, we generally grow potatoes in sandy soil that drains well. Stephanie says this year, that's not necessarily the case.
Seth Olson joins us. He's a conservation agronomist at Awesome Farms, overseeing 2,700 acres in Arena and roughly 1,000 acres in Grand Marsh. Right now, he's scouting the field for bugs and disease, and he's also managing sustainability initiatives on the farm to stop erosion with all the rainfall we've been getting and to meet the standards of the Wisconsin Healthy Grown Potato Program. Seth gives us a crop progress report from the potato field.
Well, obviously, the amount of rain that we've been getting, it's not only affecting
us as potato farmers, it's affecting everybody. But I'd say right now, about 80% of our crop looks real good still. There's about 10% where the moisture is really causing some challenges for us. And there's another somewhere between 10-15% that, depending on what happens coming up soon here in the season, could go either way.
Do you have rainfall amounts that you can share with us and how it may compare to, you know, the past couple of years?
It's definitely high compared to the last couple of years. These larger rainfalls, like above an inch, that have been happening fairly regularly lately, those are the ones that really have been the most challenging. There have been two in particular in the last month above 3 inches, about 3.5 inches in a single rainfall. In the heavier fields that don't drain as fast, you know, it does cause some problems. The sandy soils, the very sandy fields, have been able to keep up okay. We've got a little bit of variety. We're here in the Wisconsin River Valley by Areno, Wisconsin. And depending on the field, some of them do have a little bit more clay content, a little bit heavier, and those are the ones that are having trouble keeping up with the saturation we have right now.
Now, in your title, Seth, it's conservation agronomist, so you're doing a lot of work on that front. And, you know, when I think of conservation, I think of covers, you know, waterways, things of that nature. What kind of conservation strategies does Awesome have in place that maybe it's helped with the moisture?
Well, you mentioned cover cropping. That is something we do absolutely as much as we can. After harvest, we'll put some kind of a cover crop on the fields. So erosion-wise, outside of the growing season, that's a big thing. We do things in the in certain dry corners and other pieces of land around the farm where we implement native plants and pollinator plantings, which themselves provide a good resistance to erosion too. In a couple places, we do that in drainage ditches to keep the soil in place, and also, you know, to provide pollinator habitat close to our fields. Erosion control is obviously a big thing on a year like this. Just in general, every year we work with the Healthy Grown program to manage our chemical inputs and do these ecological projects as well.
We typically see irrigation in potato fields, and I know last year during a drought year, irrigation was very important. But during a wet year, Seth, how much have you relied on irrigation technology?
It's less than normal, certainly. In the sandier fields, though, it doesn't take long, you know, for the moisture to get to a point where we do run the irrigation still. And fertility units that might have leached away in the rainfall, we sometimes put on through the pivot, too, with fertigation to keep us right on track with, you know, not too much, but also no deficiency of nitrogen. Compared to last year, we're running the pivots quite a bit less, but on those sandier fields, they still do get used.
You said, you know, the Colorado potato beetles coming into its next emergence. You mentioned, you know, potato blight is something that you've got your eye on at this time of year. Are these things worse than normal in a wet year?
On the disease side of things, the moisture does kind of play in favor of a lot of those fungal diseases. It's also been a fairly hot season, though, too. So generally, fungal diseases like cool and moist conditions. They're certainly getting the moist conditions this year, but temperatures have been pretty high. So that's a good thing. Insect pressure, as far as that goes, that's much more temperature dependent than it is moisture dependent. And we did have a mild winter last year, which means that a lot of the beetles that would have gotten winter killed didn't this year. So we are seeing a little bit higher potato beetle pressures. And their whole life cycle kind of works on heat units, much like the crop itself. They proceed a lot quicker when they get those heat units. And this year, it's been, on average, a little bit, you know, ahead of schedule as far as the pest life cycle.
As you said to start our interview, Seth, 80% of the potato crop is looking good. But what are your harvest expectations or yield expectations come harvest?
We're optimistic so far. Of course, you know, we're hoping that the rain slows down a little bit. Looks like we have a little reprieve from it right now. But so far this year, it's not like anything disastrous has happened. There's been a couple of years in the past where here in the valley, we experienced a lot of drought out. We're certainly optimistic. We're getting ready for a good yield. There's just those couple challenging spots as far as the moisture we've gotten so far is concerned.
Seth Olson, along with us, conservation agronomist with Awesome Farms. Right now, he's scouting 2,700 acres of potatoes in Arena and about 1,000 acres in Grand Marsh. The Colorado potato beetle and potato blight are on his mind as temperatures pick up and as fields continue to see moisture. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
It's time for the grooviest event of the summer at the Wisconsin State Fair. Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 1st through the 11th. Yeah, I'm
feeling good. Get more value out of your farm's high tunnels. Join the Oats Workshop, Sustainable High Tunnel Management, on August 1st in Oak Creek. Learn from farmers and ag professionals about controlling temperature, managing soil fertility, and pests. Tour the high tunnels at Village Farmstead, a USDA organic produce farm, and see demonstrations of tools and techniques used to manage permanent raised beds. Visit organicagronomy.org to register and secure your spot today. Oats science-based organic training for agricultural advisors.
We're lower again this morning in Chicago. Corn, beans, and wheat. And unfortunately, it does not look like that trend is going to turn around. Ed Ussett is an agriculture economist at the University of Minnesota, and he says right now it is really tough for producers to get their arms around these lower prices, especially if they haven't already contracted their grain.
Values are as low as they've been all year. As low as they've been for quite some time. It's not good stuff. What's going on, this 11th commandment of grain marketing, thou shalt not hold unpriced grain beyond July 1. You got two things happening, or two things that tend to happen. You've got new crop futures have a tendency to decline from spring to fall in both corn and soybeans. It's not a certainty, but it's pretty strong. A strong tendency in corn, a pretty strong tendency soybean.
That's Ed Ussett. He's an ag economist at the University of Minnesota. What does he suggest if you're still sitting on unsold grain that's standing in your fields? He said, watch for a rally. He believes that there's going to be a few coming up. And he said, the only way that you're going to be able to handle a crazy year like this one is sell on the rally and make sure you're cutting your losses. Markets, as I said, in overnight electronic trade this morning are bleeding red ink again. Corn for December, down a nickel right now at 410. November soybeans are down 15 and a half, 1049 and three quarters. The wheat for September is down 12 cents at 539. Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped 4 cents to 185. 40-pound block cheese was down 6 and a half at 189. Double A butter stood still on Friday at 310 a pound. August, Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning is up 9, 1978. September milk, that's down a penny at 20.07 a hundredweight. Another robust week of county fair activities greeting you. This week, Wednesday, we've got the Fond du Lac County Fair in Fond du Lac, Green County Fair in Monroe, La Crosse Interstate Fair in West Salem, also the Trempealeau County Fair in Galesville, the Waukesha County Fair in Pewaukee beginning on Wednesday. Thursday, the Dane County Fair in Madison gets added to the list. Want to find out more? Go to wifairs.com. Coming up in just a moment, Charity Seebecker explains how data is driving dairy sales for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. She's up next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Republican National Convention gets underway. We talked to Greg Treverton from National Security Leaders for America about the ramifications of a possible Trump second term.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Significant role that secondary data plays in helping over 260 dairy companies across the state make informed decisions.
I am part of the insights team here at Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. My particular focus is working on secondary data, which is data that somebody else is gathering and then we're able to access it. So that can include government data along with a number of other data sources that usually you have to subscribe to. So the largest type of data that I work with is retail data, and that gives us a whole range of information on what products are selling in grocery stores across the country.
And so obviously data is important no matter where you are, but how do these specific insights and research data drive demand for Wisconsin milk? What are you seeing?
So we work with over 260 dairy companies across the state that make a whole range of dairy products, from cheese and butter to yogurt, ice cream, sour cream, you name it. And each one of these manufacturers has to make decisions every day about what products to make and where to sell them. So the research that I'm providing to them can help them understand the market so that they're putting the right products on the right shelves in front of the right consumers. That helps them sell more dairy products, which in turn allows them to buy more Wisconsin milk. Now, a lot of the larger manufacturers in the state would have access to this kind of data on their own. So where we can really make a difference is with the smaller and mid-sized companies that wouldn't be able to afford this kind of research on their own. And then this way we can really help them grow their business, which grows the entire Wisconsin dairy industry.
So why is it important then for you guys to look at the trends when you're doing this research?
Well, there are over 330 American consumers out there across the country, and we each have our own tastes, our food traditions, food preferences, and those change over time as our lifestyles evolve. You know, we had things like the impact of COVID, for example, where all of a sudden there was a huge upheaval in American dining habits. Since we can't interview every consumer about their wants and needs, we use retail data to track where they're putting their dollars. We can identify segments like Hispanic cheeses or shaved cheeses that are growing, and then we can dig a little bit deeper to understand what's driving that growth. And then that allows manufacturers to adjust their product offerings to meet these changing needs. And as marketers at Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, we can adjust our marketing messages to show consumers how Wisconsin cheese fits into the trends that are capturing their attention.
And Suzanne, where is this information that you're gathering? Where is it being used?
I try to spread it around as far as I can because I want everybody to be empowered to use this data and, you know, sell more Wisconsin dairy products. Within Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, we use information on what's trending in our PR efforts so that we can get editors and TV hosts and others talking about Wisconsin cheese. Wisconsin makes a quarter of the nation's cheese, but where we really shine is in specialty cheese. 50% of the artisan and specialty cheese that's being made across the country is coming out of plants right here in Wisconsin. And we have a really great story to tell because, you know, our retail data shows that Wisconsin specialty cheese sales this year are growing three times as fast as the rest of the category. So it's an awesome product. We know how amazing it is. We're making sure that consumers are aware of it. And using numbers like that really helps us get that story out there across the country so everybody knows.
Yeah, definitely. And I know when I'm searching, when I'm in the grocery store, I'm looking for that probably Wisconsin cheese badge. I mean, come on, Wisconsin cheese. We're known for it and we enjoy it. But take me through a little bit more about that badge and the private labeling that these different cheese companies can use.
Sure. So we work with, we also share our data in addition to using it internally. We share it with external partners like grocery retailers. Wisconsin cheese is carried in 99% of grocery stores across the country, and that badge really makes it easy to find because when you see the Proudly Wisconsin cheese badge right on the label, you know that you're getting a great Wisconsin product. So there are now over 5,000 dairy products with a badge on the market from companies like Roth Cheese, Henning Cheese, and Boar's Head. You'll even find Wisconsin cheese under private label from your local grocery store like Private Selection at Metro Market. We've got a lot of Wisconsin cheeses under that label as well. And we use retail insights to identify the local trends when we're working with retailers that are really driving growth in their part of the country, in their market. And then we can identify the Wisconsin cheese brands or cheese products that would really tie into those specific trends for them and get increased distribution for Wisconsin cheese, which just helps move more cheese off the shelf.
Susanna Seagate, Director of Market Research for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, along with us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff. For more information about Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin...
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. The Todd Alba Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal, genuinely, of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This ain't your grandpa's FFA. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
What started nearly 100 years ago as the Future Farmers of America is now officially known as the National FFA Organization. FFA has nearly a million members across all 50 states, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, exploring the universe of food and agriculture. Chief Program Officer Christine White.
We've got students who are very interested in politics and law. Well, most of our corporate partners and corporations within the industry need lawyers and policymakers to work on those different pieces. And so it's really trying to find students and meet them where they're at and then show them the opportunities that are available through the agricultural field and then give them real life experiences.
At one time, FFA served as a high school training program for farmers. Today, says White, it's that and so much more.
It's really starting to understand where are students that are in this Generation Z that are coming through, and how do we align some of our programs, our marketing, our communication tactics that really align with the values of young people today. They're very purpose-driven. So being able to lead with, this is how you will make an impact in the world and make a change, we have found has been very beneficial.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
Monday night, we will stream live on Facebook, X, and YouTube from 7 to 8 p.m. during the RNC and be back on the air live from 8 to 9 p.m., where we welcome the master of radio magic, Gizmo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political convention started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee. A nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Baugh. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM W.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.